You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on Hampshire Now with 91415 NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health and Choices, NH Addiction Recovery Services. And this segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, heat, and air conditioning needs. I encourage you to experience the paradigm shift by checking out ParadigmPH.com. Welcome to the program right now. My good friend and co-host for On Background, which is presented by the Hampshire Healthcare Association, airs Thursdays here on WKXL. He is Paul Steinhauser, and he spent Saturday with Elizabeth Warren, who campaigned here in New Hampshire as a part of her presidential exploratory committee. Two events, one in Manchester, a town hall type setting for that one, and then a house party, which was a private invite and pooled press, which means only invited members of the press, in essence, were allowed at that particular event. And he got an opportunity to sit down with Elizabeth Warren, though, and talk with her for about 10 minutes. So we're going to hear that conversation coming up in this segment of the show. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. Nice to join you on this crisp Monday.
And yeah, indeed, it is. It's a little chilly here in the 603. It's going to heat up into the 20s and 30s. So some good ski conditions for Tuesday and Wednesday, and get a little bit colder again. And then a blizzard potentially this weekend. So you want to stay with our WKXL for the latest forecasts in regards to that. But that is not really on the minds of the political folks right now. People are wondering how the field is going to develop here in New Hampshire. And Elizabeth Warren has gotten out ahead of the field and had another good, another good rollout. Very controlled. Elizabeth Warren did not go to the diner and risk being heckled by folks. She met with individuals who were likely to be receptive to her message. And, you know, she has had a solid, careful rollout so far.
She has, just like in Iowa, and that was by design, obviously. She announced her exploratory committee on December 31st. We all know she's going to be running for president. We're all treating this like a campaign. She is all but certain to be a presidential candidate. The rollout in Iowa was smooth. The rollout here in New Hampshire, as you said, was scripted and smooth. Two events that were, yes, controlled, but looked good on TV. Looked good. You know, they had a nice look and feel to them. It's interesting. She laid out, obviously, her progressive agenda. She's a torchbearer for the left. She's got a lot of followers on the progressive side. She talked a lot of policy in her Manchester event at Manchester Community College. She laid out her visions for the future, for the country, what we need to do. She said we need systemic change. She also painted a picture of herself and really highlighted her humble beginnings. You know, she had a rough and tumble, I guess you could say, upbringing in Oklahoma. She talked about that a lot more than she talked about her years at Harvard University or in the U.S. Senate. And that's by design as well, right, to show she's an average person, she's likable. So you understand why she does these things, right? And I think it's pretty clear. She didn't mention the name Donald Trump at all in that one-hour event she did at Manchester Community College, which was about a 15-minute speech and then about 45 minutes of taking questions from the invited audience. She explained why she didn't later when she was talking to reporters in the scrum, and she said, you know, I think we need to talk about our affirmative version of the future and our vision of the future. But she did go on to say, I'm willing to fight. Everybody knows that. When it came down to a chance to chat with her, she didn't want to answer some questions like, you know, can she beat Bernie Sanders if he runs for the progressive left of the party, and also for right here in New Hampshire, where, of course, Bernie Sanders had that big victory back in 2016 over Hillary Clinton. She didn't want to answer that. She really didn't also want to talk much about whether New Hampshire is a must-win state. She was asked that by me and by others during the scrum, and she really didn't want to get into that at all. But when I had a chance to chat with her, we started with the opioid epidemic, and here's what she had to say about the crisis that's afflicting New Hampshire.
For me, everything that government does, how it spends its money, what a budget looks like, is ultimately about our values. And in this case, right now, with opioid problems, someone could come to you, someone you love, and say, I have a serious problem, I know I do, and I want to deal with it. They would have a less than 1 in 6 chance of getting the medical treatment they need in order to become well again. And that's because we're not putting the resources in that we need to be able to support someone. Right now, here in New Hampshire, with the Doorway program, there's new steps. I think this is great. More portals to get people in, more ways to get people into the system for treatment. But we've got to make sure the resources are there, that there are enough beds, enough therapists, enough support groups, enough to help people. This is what we do together. We have to battle back against this crisis. Now, I've already put my money where my mouth is on this. Elijah Cummings and I have put together a 10-year proposal to put the kind of resources into this problem that the doctors, the scientists, the public health officials tell us is what's really needed here. We've introduced it in the House and the Senate. I'd like to see it become law.
There is a history of Massachusetts presidential candidates winning here. Think Paul Tsongas, think John Kerry, think Mitt Romney in 2012. So here you are from Massachusetts up in New Hampshire. Do you see the first in nation primary state as a must-win state?
You know, I know there are a lot of folks who have their own thoughts about strategies and how all this is supposed to work. But I am not a professional politician. My first time ever to be in electoral politics was when I ran for the Senate exactly one term ago. And for me, this is about my life's work, about how it is in America that the middle class is being hollowed out, that opportunities for hardworking people are shrinking, that the path has gotten so much rockier for so many different families, and even rockier yet for people of color. And much of that is because of decisions made in far-off Washington. I believe in what we can do together. That's how I got in this fight to begin with in Massachusetts, fighting back against a Washington that works for the wealthy and the well-connected and does not work for anyone else. And that's what pulls me in now. So I'm going to be here to talk to families, to talk to people on the ground in New Hampshire about where I think we need to come together and fight back structurally to take back this government, to make it work again, not just for the wealthy and well-connected, to make it work again for everyone.
As you're here today, supporters of Bernie Sanders are holding a couple of events here in New Hampshire urging him to run again. Two-part here. I'm wondering if you had a chance to talk to Senator Sanders since you announced your exploratory committee, and B, this was his state overwhelmingly in 2016. If he runs, how do you convince his followers to come your way?
Now, I've known Bernie since long before I got involved in electoral politics. Back when he was a congressman, before he became a senator, Bernie and I are old friends, and we've talked about a lot of the same issues for a long, long time. And we continue to fight in the United States Senate as allies to try to pull this country in a better direction. Bernie will talk about the things he cares most about. I'll talk about the things I care most about. Those weave together, because I think that is how we build a future that works for everyone. And that's what we're about in this.
Last night, Tulsi Gabbard, the congresswoman from Hawaii, announced Senator Sanders could get in as well. Senator Merkley, Senator Brown, are you concerned that there could be too many progressives?
Concerned? I think this is great.
Would that allow, though, if there's a division on the left, would that allow maybe a Michael Bloomberg or somebody more moderate to win the nomination?
You know, look, I think that how we have to think of this is how we build a movement, how we build from the grassroots all across New Hampshire and all across America a real movement Because that's how it is that we not only win elections, it's how it is that we make the change we need to make once we win those elections. And I think the fact that there's so much energy, that there's so many good ideas right now in the Democratic Party, tells you where America is headed and that America is ready. Ready to dream big and ready to fight hard.
I covered you in 2014. You came up here to campaign for Senator Shaheen. Very close election. You came back in 2016 for Senator Hassan. Again, a close election. They both won. Would you like to see both of them supporting you now as you run for the Democratic presidential nomination?
Look, of course. I'd like to see everyone in this fight, and I'd like to see them supporting the core notion that we need to make Washington work for someone other than those who can hire lobbyists and lawyers and bought and paid for experts, that we really can take this government back and make it work for people.
Specifically with them, they were two of just 17 Democratic senators who voted last year to roll back some of the Dodd-Frank reforms. And you were very vocal in criticizing Democrats who did that. And I'm wondering, have you forgiven Senators Shaheen and Hassan?
Look, it's not about forgiveness. I stand up and fight for what I believe in. And that's true regardless of party. This is why I am in the fights in Washington. It's because I believe we need to speak up and speak out on behalf of the people who just keep getting left behind in every one of these decisions. I'm in this fight all the way.
Your time is short, so one last one.
Sure.
It's a big story up here, actually. In the past week at the State House, a bill to rename Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day got its first committee hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember last October, you took to Twitter, and you were criticized by conservatives for saying that we should be honoring Indigenous people on Columbus Day. And I'm wondering if you'd like to weigh in. Do you think states should be doing this, renaming Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day, or should it be something done at the national level?
My view on this is, why would we not want to honor Indigenous people? These were the people who were here. These are the people who in Massachusetts reached out and helped the first settlers to Massachusetts Bay Colony,
mm-hmm.
and helped them survive those first harsh and rugged years. I'm in favor of honoring. I think that's a good thing for us to do.
Both at the state level or maybe even at the national level?
Yeah, but I think we can also do this at a very personal level. I think we ought to honor those who were here first and the extraordinary sacrifices that they were forced to make.
Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you. Great to see you again.
Good to see